We're in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account.
Thank you, Helen. Helen to the rescue. Let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now as we open up your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and ears to hear what you have to say to us, and help us to respond in faithful obedience. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest challenges in life today is knowing who to listen to. We are surrounded by many voices, those of family, friends, culture, social media, professionals, experts, and even our own desires. Some voices lead us toward the truth, while others can lead us away from God's will, God's word and his will for us. As we see in this passage tonight, Moses is coming to the near the end of his life, preparing the Israelites for a future without him. They have relied on his leadership, his counsel and his intercession. But soon, however, Moses will be gone. They are about to enter the promised land, but they are facing uncertainty, new cultures, false religions, and future challenges. In the verses prior to the passage we're looking at tonight, God warns Israel not to follow pagan spiritual practices, those of sorcery, divination, witchcraft, or trying to manipulate the future. Instead of seeking hidden knowledge from dark sources, God promises something better. He will speak to his people through a prophet like Moses. And I'll touch more on that as we progress in this, especially in verse 19, come to more about Israel. But this promise reaches beyond Joshua or the prophets of the Old Testament. It is ultimately pointing to the New Testament, which identifies this prophet like Moses as Jesus Christ. And we see Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, where he repeats the same passage, where he says, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. So the question naturally arises, how will God continue to guide his people? Well, in verse 15, we see that God will guide his people. He never leaves his people without direction. God promised continued guidance through the prophets he would appoint. Now, a prophet in the Old Testament was the mouthpiece of God, who would declare the sayings of the Lord. He declared the truth of God, but also exposed and opposed the false prophets and the sin of the people. So in some way we can say probably the prophet was a teacher, but also a prosecuting attorney. Charles Hodge, who was a Presbyterian theologian, said, we as fallen man, ignorant, guilty, polluted and helpless, need a saviour who is a prophet to instruct us, a priest to atone for our sin, and make intercession to pray for us, and a king to rule over and protect us. We have the greatest prophet We have the greatest priest and the greatest king in the person of Jesus Christ, which this passage alludes to. In Exodus chapter 19, the people feared standing before God, and so it was Moses who went up to Mount Sinai to speak with God. He then conveyed what God had said to him to the people and how they were to live. You know, there was no prophet like Moses in the Old Testament. He was unmatched and he was unrivaled. Many prophets after Moses, like Elijah, Elisha, Samuel, and even in the New Testament of John the Baptist, none of them were quite like Moses. He was a prophet and priest to Israel. In his writings of the first five books of the Old Testament, which we call the Pentateuch, he shaped the people of God because it was God who spoke and worked through him. However, as a prophet as Moses was, he looked toward the day when this prophet like him would come. In John 6, verse 27, it says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then again in Mark chapter 9, 7, and John alluded to this morning in his sermon about on the Transfiguration. It said, "A cloud appeared and over and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" So this passage is not only about the guidance for the Israelites as they entered the Promised Land, it is for us as well. It's about who we listen to, how God speaks, and whether we will obey his word. When you face difficult decisions, whom do you seek guidance from? From popular opinion or personal feelings? We need to seek God's voice through his word and through prayer. In verses 16 to 18, it says, "I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him." The prophet would not speak on personal opinions. His authority would come from God himself. Moses reminds Israel of what happened at Mount Horeb. The people were overwhelmed by God's holy presence and asked for a mediator. God graciously responded by providing one who would speak his words to them. This points us to a deeper reality. Humanity needs a mediator. Sin separates us from a holy God, and we cannot approach him on our own merits. Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. He did not merely deliver God's message, he is God's word made flesh. So everything he spoke revealed the Father's heart. When Jesus taught, people recognised a unique authority in his words. So he was not simply another prophet among many. He was the perfect revelation of God. One of the greatest fears people carry today is uncertainty. We often ask, don't we, what should I do in a particular situation? Or which direction should I take? Or how do I know if it's God's will? Now, Israel faced the same anxiety, but God did not leave them abandoned, and he promised revelation. And today, God speaks most clearly through Scripture, the person of Jesus, and the work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is the final and fullest revelation of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it tells us, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." And in John 1:14, it says, "The word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we have a prophet like Jesus, ask yourself, what voice has the greatest influence over my life right now? Your life and my life. If it is not God's word, you can expect confusion to follow. Life becomes confused when we ignore what God is telling us through his word. We need to seek his wisdom and direction in all things of our lives. If we want to know God's character, God's will and God's truth, we can only look to Jesus. He is the prophet who fully and finally declares the truth and glory of God. He is the clearest and fullest expression of who God is. So you might ask the question, how is Jesus my prophet? Well, we are a fallen people, and Jesus reveals our problem, which is sin. The world is not what it's supposed to be. You know, I don't have to tell you that when we see on TV the state of the world, which is full of racism, corruption, pain, pollution, and always disappoints us. Sin has its tentacles deep into every aspect of our world, our families, and our own hearts. And we have a problem with our sin, but we have a prophet who shows how deeply sin affects our very hearts, in our thinking, in our actions, and in our words. Every day that we are reminded of how much we need a saviour, it is such a good position to be in. Without Christ as our prophet, we cannot find the way and we stumble in the darkness. John 8:14 tells us, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with external pleasures at your right hand. Jesus also calls us to holiness. He's the good shepherd who leads us. We are helpless, like sheep who have gone astray. We struggle with sin and the temptation to sin. When I first joined the police as a young cadet, one of the sports that I had to be involved in was wrestling. And we had to wrestle a Commonwealth wrestler, Commonwealth Games wrestler, who was also a police officer. I struggled. I never won, but I came close once. But when my boys were younger, I took the pleasure of wrestling with them, being able to put to practice some of the holds I learned when I wrestled the Commonwealth Games wrestler. But now I wouldn't be able to wrestle them because I would struggle so much. They'd pin me down. I would need rescuing. So we struggle with sin every day, but we are reminded of what a great saviour we have. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 tells us, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So we know why Jesus is our prophet, but now the question is, God requires a response. So this is where we come to verse 19, which is the central command, if you like, of this passage, and that is simply listen. It says in this verse, if anyone does not listen to my words, that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Listening to, in the biblical sense, means more than just hearing. It means responding with faith and obedience. God takes seriously how we respond to his word. Knowledge is not enough. We are called to act upon what we hear, aren't we? You know, many people admire Jesus as a teacher. Many respect him as a historical figure or even appreciate his moral teachings. But that is not enough, though, is it? Scripture calls us to more than admiration. It calls us to submission. The blessing of hearing God's voice comes with the responsibility of obeying it. God gave Israel a promise when they moved into the promised land, but they ignored it and followed the practices of the nations around them. Let's go back to verse 9, which says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there." In verse 12, "Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you." You see that in verse 12, God promised Israel that he would drive those nations out, but they still didn't trust God in that because they become involved in the practices of those nations. So what is that telling you and I? Am I merely hearing God's word, or am I obeying it? Is there an area where God has spoken very clearly, but I have delayed in responding? So what step of obedience is God calling you and me to take today? The danger for Israel was hearing God's words, but following the surrounding cultures instead. And the danger for us is similar. We come here every Sunday, we listen to sermons, and then we go out with no change in our lives. The reading of Scripture without surrender, knowing the truth without practicing it. And Jesus echoed this in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So why don't we put God's word into practice in our lives? Sometimes we find obedience can be very hard, can't we? Especially when it comes to forgiving someone who's sinned against you, or to control our speech, resisting temptation, or being generous. We find it hard to obey when remaining faithful in private, and even repenting of a sin we don't want to let go of. Sometimes we want a dramatic guidance while ignoring those clear commands God has already given to us in his word. If you are a mature believer here tonight, you are not just merely informed by Scripture, but you are shaped by it, just as Moses shaped the lives of the Israelites through God's words given to him. Today's modern culture treats truth as something that is optional. The truth is whatever you want it to be. However, Scripture presents God's word as authoritative. When God speaks, we are responsible for our response. And when Jesus speaks, he is not merely a moral teacher or an inspirational figure. He speaks with divine authority. So how are you building your life? How am I building my life? On your wisdom, my wisdom, or on the authority of God's word? John mentioned this morning about how Jesus is the greater Moses. And if we look back, reflecting back on verse 15, Moses says that God will raise up a prophet like me. What are the similarities there between Moses and of Jesus? Moses was a faithful servant to God, and Jesus is far greater. Moses delivered God's law, and Jesus fulfilled it. Moses interceded for the people, and Jesus continually intercedes for believers. Moses led Israel toward the promised land. Jesus leads his people into eternal life. Moses spoke God's words. Jesus called the word made flesh. So the message of Deuteronomy 18 ultimately is ultimately not just about prophets. It is about Christ and Christ alone. God's call to Israel remains God's call to us today. So we need to listen to him. Listen when his word challenges our thinking. Listen when his commands require sacrifice. Listen when his promises encourages our hearts. Listen when his spirit, his spirit convicts us of sin. And listen when his voice calls you to faith, trust, and obedience. So how do we practically apply this to daily life? As you read and study God's word, ask yourself, what does this reveal about God? What is God asking me to obey? And what needs to change in my life? We need to test every voice that Scripture against Scripture, as not every spiritual message is from God. We need to carefully evaluate the different podcasts that we listen to the online teaching, to cultural values, our own personal desires, and even our own emotions. Truth is measured by God's word, not popularity. And we need to obey God promptly. When we put off obeying God, it becomes disobedience. So when God convicts you and me through his word, we are to forgive, we are to confess, to reconcile, to act and trust in him. Our spiritual maturity grows through practiced obedience. Why did our parents teach us to listen to and obey them? You might have different reasons for this, but it was to prevent us from taking the wrong path, helping us to grow up to be responsible people. When we study God's word, it is not just information that we are given, but it is transforming us into the very likeness of Christ if we are applying it to our lives. Some questions for reflection is, what voices competes most strongly with God's voice in your life and in my life? Is there an area where I know that what God wants but have delayed in obeying him? How can you and I become more intentional about listening to Jesus every day? And do we approach Scripture as information or as God's authoritative word to us? In a world full of noises, distractions, and confusion, it's easy to lose sight of what truly matters. But Jesus left us words that cut through the confusion and the chaos, timeless truths that speak directly to our hearts. And there's five things I'd like you to take away from tonight. Firstly, seek God first. Jesus taught us to put God above everything else. When we prioritise him, everything else falls into place. And we see that in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Secondly, do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus reminded us not to be consumed by worry. Each day has enough concerns of its own. And we see that in Matthew 6 verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thirdly, love one another. Love is the mark of a true follower of Christ. It reflects his heart and reflects his command. John 13, verse 34 to 35, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Fourthly, deny yourself and follow him. Following Jesus requires surrender. It means putting him above your own desires. Luke 9:23 tells us, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." And fifthly, watch and be ready. Jesus warned us to stay alert and prepared. We do not know when he will return. Matthew 24, verse 42 tells us, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." These words of Jesus are not just teachings, they are instructions for us on how to live. So are you listening to what Jesus says, what truly matters? We are to listen and live by his words daily. The question for us is not that whether God has spoken. He has spoken through Jesus Christ. The question is whether we are listening. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the promise you gave through Moses for his perfect fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the prophet you raised up to reveal your heart and your will. We praise you because in Christ you have spoken your final and perfect word of grace, truth, and salvation. Teach us to listen carefully to his voice, to trust his teaching, and to obey him with joyful hearts. Keep us following the voices of this world. Keep us from following the voices of this world and help us remain faithful to Christ alone. May our lives reflect his love, his holiness, and his compassion, so that others may come to know him as Lord and Saviour. And as we leave this place, may our hearts be attentive to his voice, our lives be shaped by his word, and our witness reflect his love and truth. In his precious name we pray. Amen.